What's up, y'all? This is Trevor coming at you with another episode in the series of Trevor Truck Talks, where I'm going to be talking about marketing, marketing 15-minute episodes here. Fancy name, fancy name. So I'm about halfway home now, fired up this podcast a little bit later. But first of all, before we talk about marketing, I want to talk about something more serious. And I'll be doing future podcast episodes on this, I'm sure. But this week here at Carrot, we're definitely going through a tragedy here on the Carrot team. My assistant, who's been on this podcast several times, been with me for 8 years, you know, like family, her husband had a tragic accident this last weekend. And same thing, he was heavily involved in the Carrot family, was involved in a lot of the swag ideas you guys currently see, was insanely helpful in our events, things like that. He passed away, and it's one of those things that kind of comes out of left field, you know, and it forces you to evaluate, are you doing the right things? Am I investing my time wisely? Am I going after the right things and really helping people and creating joy and positivity in the world? And or am I really going after the wrong things? And also last, I put a post up on Facebook that has been getting a lot of traction. It really highlights community. And I'm just so thankful for you guys being a part of our community. We're seeing so many people, both locally in our church community, just really surrounding around Jen and her three young children. She has children who are 1, 5, and 10. And our Carrot community here locally is rallying around her in a big way. But you know what, y'all? I'm so, so humble and proud of the Carrot community. We have customers, Carrot campers, people who are posting on Facebook, sharing the GoFundMe account, mailing in gift cards, flowers, coming from all around the country. And I know Jen feels the love, and we just appreciate the heck out of it, guys. So thank you. If you want to learn more about it, go to my Facebook page, depending on when you're listening to this. You know, September 2019 is when I'm recording this the first time. And we just love you guys. All right, so let me shift into marketing mode now. So this episode is going to be about market sophistication. Now, what is market sophistication? On one of the previous episodes, we talked about getting to know your customers and how when you know your customers inside and out, it gives you a big advantage. It gives you a big advantage in your messaging, making sure that you actually have the right product, the right offer, all those things. And most real estate investors, especially in most agents as well too, you don't spend the time getting to know your prospects. Running surveys, asking lots of questions, like I said in the last episode, figure out what is on their minds, how they say things, what their pains are, frustrations, where they want to go, and leveraging that in your marketing well to connect with them. Now, the next part is, do you know your market well? Do you know the market and the market phase well? Because if you know your customers really well, and in a future episode, I'm going to be talking about how to create an irresistible offer. How do you create offers, whether you're offering on houses or you're offering for your services as an agent or you're selling a book or you're selling trucks? How do you create an irresistible offer? That's coming in a future episode. The learnings I've had over the years on how to craft offers that people can't say no to. Okay, that's coming soon. But first, you need to know about your market. And what market sophistication is essentially, every market has a phase that they're in. And when it's a brand new market, I'll give you some examples, it's a lot easier to have any old marketing message crack through and connect with your prospects. Okay, I'll give you some examples of that later. When a market's saturated, then it's a lot harder for that same old message to crack through to your prospects. You have to start adjusting your message and come up with things called a unique mechanism and other things to really differentiate. And so here's some examples. Let's do some standard ones that are known to most people. Let's go to the beer world and cars, okay? So in the beer world, you can imagine way back when someone started making beer, probably hundreds if not thousands of years ago. And then sometime in the 1700s or 1800s is my guess, someone decided, you know what? I should probably sell this thing and name this thing beer, okay? Rather than everyone kind of making their own little homebrew, what if I made it for them and I sold it in a store and they could come enjoy it at a saloon or something? So in those days, all you had to do to market your beer was just say, I have beer. There's a thing called beer. Come drink it. It's good. Right? Because it's new. There's not a lot of competitors at that point. There's not a lot of other options at that point. People just see this new thing, beer. Oh, beer sounds great. I see a sign that says beer here, and I'm going to go buy it. But what happens is, as other people start to jump into the market and see there's opportunity, you're going to see competitors pop up. Other competitors see opportunity, they start to offer a similar type of a beer, and then they start to come up with different brands, different types of beers, and now there's a lot of different options for types of beers, lots of different brands, and it gets harder for that company to crack through with their marketing message. So how do you then crack through? At the very early stages of the market sophistication level, you're essentially at the unaware stage, okay? It's the unaware stage. The market is unaware of your product, so therefore it's easy to crack through with your message, okay? The aware phase is when they are aware of the solution, okay, and they are aware of your product potentially, okay? The most aware phase is when they're aware of the product, they're aware of most of the solutions, and they're just trying to figure out the differentiation. At that point, it's probably when your market is saturated. There's a lot of options, okay? So now let's go to cars. Way back when cars launched, it was just Henry Ford. Okay, Henry Ford was it. He had the Model A, he had one option, or Model T or whatever it was. He had one option, and it was very easy. Come get my Model T. I have a car. But then you saw Studebaker pop up and GMC pop up and all these other brands, Chrysler pop up, and it became harder. Then Ford had to start to come up with differentiators. Hey, my car goes this speed. Here's the horsepower of this car. My car has these comfortable, seats. This car has these cool, fancy gadgets. Eventually, someone came up with a radio and put a radio in a car, and that was a big differentiator. Eventually, someone came up with these safety restraints and things. That was a big differentiator. Then you have Tesla that came out in a massively saturated market and said, you know what? We're going to completely smash through everything else, and we're going to create something unlike anything out there in the market. They massively added a differentiator. So how does this apply to you as a real estate investor or an agent? Okay, first of all, there's different levels of market sophistication depending on if we're talking at the local level or national. So you could be in a town that really doesn't have too many competitors in the market. So I live here in Roseburg, Oregon. There's not a lot of house buyers in Roseburg, Oregon. So it doesn't take a lot for you in a market like this where there's not a lot of competitors to drive a marketing message home, and you could literally use the phrase like "we buy houses." There's a reason the phrase "we buy houses" and "cash home buyers" and stuff like that has worked and still works, but worked even better 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago, because at that point, the market sophistication a couple decades ago was very low. It was in the unaware phase, okay? And so people weren't aware that there was a service like this, so therefore a marketing message like "we buy houses" actually cracked through the clutter. It stood out, okay? That worked. But eventually, as more and more people got into markets, if everyone uses "we buy houses," then now you can't stand out. You're one of the crowd, one of the clutter. You start to get pushed out until you differentiate your message. So then that's where people start to come up with other differentiators. Differentiators like, Open Door, OfferPad, coming out with differentiators in pricing, how their pricing is modeled differently. Or real estate agents coming in and saying, you know what, we'll put the most money in your pocket. We can list it or we can buy it, and we'll guarantee we'll buy it at this price. That's a differentiator. That's more than just "we'll buy your house." It's your house will sell guaranteed, and we'll put the most money in your pocket as possible, okay? And then on the real estate or in other markets where it's really, really competitive, you have to add in other differentiators. Your differentiators could be your experience. Maybe you've bought hundreds of homes and you've helped people in this type of home sell more than anybody else. So therefore you're the most qualified. Okay, you should really, really, really prop that up in your marketing message. Stand out, use that as a massive differentiator. Maybe you have a different process. Okay, we have some customers of ours who just have a flat out better process than most people. So everyone else in a competitive market, I'm pulling into my house right now, everyone else in competitive market that are using the same tired, "we buy houses, sell your house for cash, get an offer in 7 days." Everybody else that's making that same offer, you're coming out with something different. Okay, you're coming out with something that says, "Hey, you know what? Not only will we pay cash for your house, but also we'll pay for your moving. We'll pay for any things that need dumped. We will even pay for your back bills if you have back bills, okay? So that is a differentiator if you pull it out and really make it one. I remember when I was up in Portland and got in a little fender bender, someone actually clipped me on a corner of a street and ripped my bumper off. And so I had to get my truck repaired. And so what I did is I went on Google, and there's a ton of auto repair shops up in Portland, Oregon. And so I started to Google, I found a bunch of them, and they all did the same thing, right? They all had the message of, hey, we'll repair your car, or repair it to, you know, pre-crash condition, da-da-da-da-da-da. Some of them had testimonials, some of them didn't. And then I ran across this one website from a company called Leafs Auto. Okay, Leafs Auto. And I remember seeing Leafs Auto from TV commercials, and Leafs Auto had some clear differentiators. Yes, they did the same thing everybody else did. They repaired cars, okay? They brought it back to pre-loss condition. But on there, they had a massive amount of testimonials, and their differentiator that they really pointed out, because the market was saturated, was they said, essentially, we will do all the negotiation for you with the insurance company. We are your insurance advocate. Everyone else was making me do that. They're like, let's take it all off of your lap. We'll take it all over for you. Okay. Not only did they do that, but they also set us up with the rental car for free. That was a part of their program. Okay. And then they also did these other things. It just made the process really, really easy and painless. No one else is willing to do that. That's a differentiator. They put that in the marketing. They cracked through the clutter. The market was in the saturated phase. And in that saturated phase, you have to put in things called unique mechanisms. A unique mechanism is something where it's a mechanism that triggers in someone's mind to go, this is different than everything else. In the beer market, what are unique mechanisms? You're going to start to see these popping up everywhere. You guys are going to realize how the psychology of marketing works. In the beer world, over the decades, as beer started to become more and more popular, but also more and more competitive, what you started to see are unique mechanisms where oftentimes the recipe of the beer hadn't changed, but they come out with a frost brewed can, right? The beer didn't change, but they have to have a new reason to market to you with a new message. They can't just continue to say, you know, from the fresh Rocky Mountain water. That was the marketing message that stood out at some time until everyone started talking about their using their fresh water, okay? So now everyone's talking about using fresh mountain water. We can't use that as a differentiator now. Now we have to come up with something else. Maybe it's our frost brewed can. Maybe it's that frost line can thing, or it's the wide mouth bottle, or it's the, you know, whatever it is, okay? Lately, the last 10 to 15 years, it's been microbrew. So microbrew cracked through, change the conversation, bring the brewing back closer to home, have a lot of really heavy, interesting flavors, not just a lot of the light kind of boring beers, right? So you saw the big breweries latch onto that. They saw, man, that's our new unique mechanism. Microbrew craft. Craft is the new thing. Craft is our unique mechanism. We need to really lead with craft as much as we can, okay? So you can find all those unique mechanisms. The darn ice cooler beer box, right? You'd buy the beer and it would say, hey, just dump ice in this and it's a beer cooler for you too. Those are all unique mechanisms, y'all, okay? You can start to look at the same thing with Cracker Jacks. Way back when they started Cracker Jacks, they weren't selling as well until they added a unique mechanism, okay? A snack like a Cracker Jack, like popcorn like that, wasn't new per se, but they added a unique mechanism by adding a toy inside the Cracker Jack. So now they add a new marketing message. Hey, not only do you get an amazing snack, but you also get something to play with. McDonald's did the same thing as Burger King, McDonald's, all those chains started battling. They could no longer just say, hey, we have a great burger. So then McDonald's came out with a Big Mac, okay? Burger King started, and that's how they started to grow with the Whopper. And then they both had their kind of burgers that were the bigger burger, and it was good. And so then they started to add other things, and McDonald's added the Happy Meal. That's a unique mechanism for them, okay? So what can you do in your business to add unique mechanisms? Things that stand out that completely shift the conversation, that are things that other people in your market can't or won't say, and you start to add them in there. It could be features and things that you do for your client that no one else does. It could be here's an amazing example for real estate agents, but investors too. I was down at a mastermind called Closing Table that I'm in now with Sam Crammy and the Big Block Realty guys. And there was a guy there, really, really smart agent. And he said, you know what? One thing I'm doing that's really crushing it for me is this. I'm going into houses where they need a little bit of repair. And I know that if they put $40,000 to $60,000 into the house, that they'll be able to get another $100,000 to $200,000 out of the house in value. And so to lock down the listing with them, I say, hey, I can totally list your house for this and we'll sell it for this. And I think that would work. But you know what? I really believe that this house is actually worth $450,000 if we put about $50,000 of work into it in the kitchen here and doing this here and doing this here. I will actually front you all the cash. I will have my crew come in. Here's a bunch of examples of renovations I've done so you can see my quality work. We will come in and redo the kitchen. We will come in and redo the master bathroom. It'll be on my dime. And what will happen is then I will list your home. And if we sell it for over this amount that we agree on is a really good amount that you'd want to have, then my agent commission goes up to 10%. Okay. And the clients are pumped about it because that agent didn't walk in and say, hey, I'm going to list this house for $350,000, you know, like every other agent is. They're saying, you know what, I think we can list it at $450,000, could add another $100,000 for you. I'm going to make like 20 of that. I'm going to make 20 grand of that or whatever the number ends up being, okay? Okay, but you get more money. I get more money. The house is more amazing and the process is just awesome. And then he said, what happens with that is people love their renovation work so much with this construction company that 9 times out of 10, they then ask him to represent them on their house buy. And they say, hey, usually when you buy a home, you want to have some work done. They then hire his construction company to come in and do the work. That right there is a massive, unique mechanism. Okay, not only are we able to guarantee we can sell your house for higher than most every other agent in the area because we actually raise the price by doing the renovation work for you, but we are going to put up all the money to fix it, not you. I'm going to bring in my crew, okay? You have no risk in this, okay? And if it doesn't sell for that price, I'm the one who's out, not you. But I actually get to share in the win of the higher price. We share the win together. I bring all the loss in, okay, right there. So I have the risk of loss. So that is a massive, massive, massive message differentiator in a market. I want to challenge you with this. What can you do to stand out in your market? Or is your market saturated right now? If it's saturated, you can't say the same things everybody else is saying. As a real estate agent, you can't say, hey, I'll list your house. I'll go show you homes. Everybody can do that. What is your advantage? I talk about niches a lot. I talk about really going all in your niches. And that's part of this, okay? Part of your messaging could be, well, yeah, overall, it's really saturated for real estate agents. But if I niche down on the medical community, that's not saturated. No one owns that yet. I can do that, okay? Or if you're a house flipper or a wholesaler and you're looking at things going, man, there's a lot of competition of people just like me in this market. And now agents are coming into the play and now iBuyers are. How do I stand out? Well, one of the ways that you can stand out is by actually being both right now. It's still early enough in the game that there's not a lot of house flippers and wholesalers who are actively leading with, I'm a house buyer and I could list your property. Kind of like Tyler Ford down in Tucson, where he leads with that. And a lot of other customers of ours do too. Hey, either way, we'll help you get the most money in your pocket. I can either list it at this price and we'll get it sold to take between, you know, 2 months and 6 months or whatever, or I can buy it. Anthony Beckham, a recent CarrotCast episode, we talk about exactly how he's doing that, how he's wholesaling and flipping, but he's also listing. He's very transparent with the whole process with the sellers and buyers, okay? And there's a lot of other things you can do there too. You can be the person who specializes in a specific neighborhood. You know the neighborhood better than anyone else. You're gonna go out there and talk to those sellers. You're a person who can specialize in type of seller or seller situation, probate, things like that. Other type of unique mechanisms. A lot of our house flippers are going in there and once again, paying for the move, paying for the paying for their down payment on their next rental or their whatever it is. Come up with unique mechanisms that completely take care of the main biggest problems your clients have. Okay, crack through. Use that as your marketing message and a lead in a big way. And then look at how your marketing message differs from everyone else. I'll finish with this. Now, you guys probably want to know, cool, Trevor, do you actually do what you teach? So the reason we've grown so much and so fast over the years is because of the things I'm teaching you guys right now. Okay, so as we were going into the real estate investor space, which I've known that space for years, I've been an investor since 2004. Buy and hold guy, but I've been actually working in the investment space with investors since about 2007 or 2008 on the online side. And so as we started to look at the different opportunities and problems in our industry, working with real estate investors, I saw, yeah, there's a lot of websites out there, right? There's a lot of options for websites, WordPress, Wix, Squarespace, GoDaddy. There's a bunch of industry specific all-in-one systems that have a website and a bunch of other things too. And I said, you know what? If I just come out and say we have websites, it's going to be really, really high likelihood that we'll get lost in the clutter and no one will really know what we're really good at, and then we'll only join our stuff. But if I come out with something that is a new message, I know the market's cluttered. How do I create a new category? How do I create a category? And I notice, you know, the big thing is people aren't focusing on performance. And I believe that that's where they should be focusing on. We're going to focus on performance. We're going to own performance. We're going to own that bucket in this industry. There's going to be other people in the industry that are going to copy us. They're going to actually copy our websites because they don't want to put in the work to do the conversion rate stuff. And the funny thing is, even when they copy our stuff, it actually converts way less because they don't understand the fundamentals of why we did those things. We're already 10 steps ahead of them by the time they already copied us. Okay. But we did that. We said, we're going to lead with performance. We're not just a website company, da, da, da. Now we're doing the same thing in the agent market. We looked in that market. That's more flooded than the investor market is. And we said, what's out there? What's the conversation? Where do we feel the industry is going? What do we feel agents really need? And that's when we started to hone our message about authority and building authority and the importance of becoming the niche local authority in your market and doing it with content. The only way to build authority is with content. And so we're creating that message. We're leading with that message. We're the first ones in the industry to really push that message as hard as we're pushing it. Okay. And so therefore we're cracking through with a different message that's going to be working really, really well as we continue to grow. So what's your version of that? Where's your market sophistication level right now? If it's really competitive and saturated, are you saying the same things everyone else is saying? If you are, you need to pull back and write down how you're going to be different. What's your unique mechanism? What's your messaging going to, how's your messaging going to change? And how are you going to relay that message in your website, in your videos, in your content, in everything that you do? So have an amazing rest of the week. Hit us next week for the next episode in this marketing series, which I can't remember what the exact next one is going to be. We're going to talk about how to create an irresistible offer, everything. All right. Talk soon, guys. Subscribe. And please, please, please hug your family. Hug your family. Hug your family. You never know what's going to happen, and life is precious. Talk soon.